Look at blessed Pentecost to all. This is the 50th day of the season of Easter, the 50th and final day. Of course, we take this idea of Pentecost from the Jewish calendar. Why were all of those folks in Jerusalem on that great day? The text, of course, gives us the answer. They were there for the Festival of Weeks. This was a kind of a dual-purpose festival. The first was it was an opportunity to sacrifice to the Lord the first fruits of the grain harvest. That is the spring harvest. They would bring to the temple in Jerusalem the first fruits of the crop. But it being 50 days after Passover, it also reminded them and they celebrated the giving of the law from God to Moses on the mount. It was a thanksgiving, not only of God providing through food, but also God providing through word, namely the Torah, the great law. So the folks are there. And our understanding is not just the Festival of Weeks, but it is 50 days after Jesus rose from the dead. Days after he appeared to his disciples. Days after he did things like John tells us. And if it sounds familiar, right, Ann, we already heard this a couple weeks ago, the week after Easter, but again, this is John's Pentecost. This is when John tells of Jesus giving the Spirit. The folks are gathered the 50 days after all these wonderful, just monumental actions of our God. And the Spirit comes, moves among them, breathes into them, comes with flame, tongues of fire, we're told. Yet if we think of that scene on the mount when Moses receives the Torah, there too was wind and flame. Echoes. When God is present and God is doing something new, it's as if creation itself celebrates with a little pyrotechnics of its own. What did it mean for the Spirit to come upon those who were gathered? Well, we say it gives birth to the Christian church. So happy birthday, church. This is when a group of disciples became a movement organized around the central theme of sharing the good news, the gospel message. And we would say that this gospel proclamation was one of the gifts of the Spirit. Right? The Spirit on that day of Pentecost empowered the church to do what God had asked them to do. I'm reminded of that phrase, God never asks us to do something without giving us the means to do that thing. He's asking the church to spread the gospel across the world. He gives us the Spirit so that that is possible. And in this empowering of these spiritual gifts, and this is Paul, right? Paul's a little bit after the book of Acts, this event, but Paul gives us a sense of how those gifts might look in our lives in a practical manner. But there's a unity. We are one church. Right? Paul makes very crystal clear to point out all the gifts that the church enjoys, all the gifts that the church shares come from the same God, the same Spirit. So the Spirit comes and powers spiritual gifts, gives them a sense of unity, gives them that mission and purpose. we celebrate this day of Pentecost perhaps with a sense of revival and renewal. A time for God to perhaps do something new within us. And that is for all of us. There's something I think that needs to be said when Peter quotes the prophet Joel. Joel proclaims the Spirit for all people. Right? The Spirit for not just those in power, but those who are without power. God empowers them through the Spirit. The young and the old. The daughters and the sons. And the slaves. This is a rather egalitarian message. God calls all. God empowers all. And God gives to the church spirit of prophecies and visions and dreams to think what God might be calling us to. As God called those first disciples that day of Pentecost. Revival. Right? The Spirit fanning the flames of our passions is what it means to be the church. This isn't a picking ourselves up by our bootstraps, but it is relying on God's empowerment to do the things that God calls us to do. It is a sense of renewal. We look at the world around us and we think, what does the Scripture, the Gospel, have to say to this changing world? Now, as Lutherans, that shouldn't be a new concept. We were birthed of the great European Reformation, and we say that one of our touch phrases is semper reformandum, always reforming. It's not a once-for-all deal, it is a continuous movement, a continuous revival and renewal. I was thinking this past week, Pastor Adam Hamilton has written many books. He's a United Methodist pastor. Very large. I think he's the largest congregation. At least he was years ago. I'm dating myself. But he once served the largest United Methodist congregation in the U.S. And one of his particular books, actually years ago, the bishop gave me. Adam is one of Bishop Bill's favorite authors. But it was Leading Beyond the Walls, the idea that the church is not, of course, the building, it is the people. And once we leave this place, how might we do what the Spirit empowers us to do to proclaim the gospel? And what Adam suggests is that every group of Christians, every body in a local understanding of itself, needs to answer three questions. The first is, why Jesus? Why do we need Jesus? Why are we Christians? Now, obviously, I'm riffing on his very simple question, but to give you a sense of what he's after, why am I a Christian? Some have suggested that's why perhaps the church struggles so much with spreading the good news, is because many of us don't have an answer for that ourselves. Right? You live a life of faith. What's your elevator pitch for what that means for you? Next question we need to ask is, why the church? Why does the church exist? And we pray, we believe in the church every week in our creeds, one holy Catholic and apostolic church. Why is it we believe that it exists, that it needs to exist? Right? In a larger sense, why the Christian church? In a larger sense, why a Protestant church? church? Why a Lutheran church? Why the ELCA? Why do we give the money that trickles up, so to speak, to support these larger structures? And finally, why this congregation? Why do we exist? What is our purpose? What visions and dreams and prophecies might we share with one another and our neighborhood? One of the most powerful ways of asking this question I have heard over the years is, if this congregation ceased to exist tomorrow, who would miss us? Maybe these are good questions for council to take on. To not have them just be rhetorical from the pulpit, but to actually wrestle with these things. To equip us. The Spirit might move amongst us in renewal and revival ways. Why Jesus? Why the church? Why this congregation? Good things to ask on a Pentecost Sunday. We enter now into the long second half of the church year, these Sundays after Pentecost. I've once heard it said that the church year is kind of like in two halves. The first year is the here's what, right? The story of God in Jesus Christ, and now in the Spirit. And the long green season is the time of the church. It's the now what in response to the here's what. It is a time when the church intentionally thinks about its calling, what actions it must take up for the gospel ministry. Well, prayers for the church, prayers for Epiphany Lutheran Church, that the Spirit might empower us to do those things God calls us to.